translation with a purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah, Prabhupada. The sage Shaunaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama. But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. So we have a small purport. The sages assembled in the forest of Namisharaniya inquired from Sudha Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of narration, other topics like the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, the Pandavas' visit to the palace where Bhishma Dev was living, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure for Dwarka were discussed. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., were narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they want to turn to the original topic, and thus the inquiry was made about Shaunaka Rishi. So the subject of the release of the Brahmastra weapon by Ashwatthama is renewed. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumlitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti bachalam pangalam vayate girim yakripa tamaham vande shi guru dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak a little. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamal Krishna Goswamini Tinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskata Desatarine. My humble obeisances to all of you. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyai Vacha Paditanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Nama. So we'll read the translation again. The sage Shaunaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama, but Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. So, we can see that from this verse that the Lord is fulfilling the prediction that he spoke in the Bhagavad Gita. He told Arjuna, he said, you know, occasionally people, they don't believe me, you know, I could be, I've induced Yudhisthira to lie, living with 16,000 wives. So morally people may criticize me, but you proclaim on my behalf that my devotee will never perish. That is a wonderful statement by the Lord. And you can see here that Maharaj Parikshit, did not perish. When he says my devotee will never perish, it doesn't mean that he saves, the Lord saves the devotee from birth, old age, disease and death. Those are the material calamities. They come for everybody, whether you are a devotee or not. But my devotee will never perish, he meant the soul is always protected. Of course, here, not only the Lord protected Maharaj Parikshit from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, but he gave him a new body. I remember Ajamil Prabhu, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he wrote the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam for children, illustrated Bhagavatam. And he asked me to do a proofreading. And there was, we had a bit of an argument on this. I said, you know, you put Maharaj Parikshit, that the body of Maharaj Parikshit was protected by the Lord. He could not be burned by the Brahmastra. That is not correct. Because there is one verse, I think we're coming to it a little bit later, somewhere in this chapter, where it's described that the body of Maharaj Parikshit had to fulfill the purpose of the Brahmastra. It's an invincible weapon. The Brahmastra destroyed the body of Maharaj Parikshit. But the Lord gave him a new body into the womb of Uttara. And then Prabhupada in the purport says, this is the tangible proof of reincarnation. He died in the body, but then the Lord gave him a new body. He was reborn again, twice. So he was born twice into the womb of, from the womb of Uttara. And and that's why the second body given by the Lord, he could that body was actually, it was both material and also it was beautiful body that could endure the heat of the Brahmastra, and that's why he was born brown, goldish brown. And so Ajamil Prabhu, he had to change the painting from pale looking into goldish brown, because that's how Prabhupada described him. And he could resist, that body could resist the heat of the Brahmastra. And so these personalities, they were protected by the Lord. They actually, both him and his father, they gave their lives for us. Very often we think of them as just personality of the Mahabharata, ordinary personality of the Mahabharata, but actually they are special. Abhimanyu, he gave his life for Dharma, who was the father of Maharaj Parikshit. Very brave warrior. At the age of 16, we discussed the last time, I remember I was giving class here. And at the age of 16, he was fighting like a lion, lion cub, a teenage lion. They're very courageous. Amongst, he was surrounded by the Maharati. And fearlessly, he brought grace to his father's name. You know, to be the son of a great warrior, Arjuna. And he fought with such a scales that everybody had to gang, like a pack of wolves, you know? All of them, including Bhishma Dev, everybody was throwing arrows to him. But of course, Bhishma Devi threw arrows of love and crying, you know, to see that boy giving his life to fulfill the purpose of Dharma. And Ashwatthama, it is said that Ashwatthama was throwing arrows of jealousy, envy towards the Pandavas. He was actually very angry and envious of the Pandavas. He wanted to bring pain to Arjuna by having Abhimanyu killed, and of course Duryodhana as well. So but later on, of Abhimanyu left the seed of his body into the womb of Uttara, who later on, when the same Ashwatthama knew that Duryodhan, his own beloved friend, was killed by Bhima, he got very, very, very angry. And he killed, in the night, he went into the camps of the Pandavas and he killed the other five children. He was such a coward. He was a big warrior, but he couldn't face the Pandavas. So he wanted to bring pain to the Pandavas by killing their children. And he succeeded. He killed the five sons of the Pandavas. And Draupadi forgave him. But then later on, he was not finished yet here. On this, when he heard that Duryodhan was defeated by Bhima and killed by Bhima, then or crippled by Bhima, I don't even. There is no definition in the Mahabharata whether he died of shame or he died of being defeated. Does anybody know? They say, you know, that he went to the heavenly planets. But does anybody know if he died or? Sorry? Yeah, I know he was half killed. But my question is, did he leave the body? Did he die? It's not really clearly explained in the Mahabharata. Do you know, Tapa? Because also the Pandavas, they didn't leave the body. They walked towards the Himalayas and they went to the heavenly planets with their own bodies and they saw Duryodhan there. In any case, so Ashwatthama, he wanted to punish, he wanted to make the Pandavas suffer. And he threw the last weapon that he had in his quiver, the Brahmastra, because Brahmastra is invincible. It's a weapon of Lord Brahma, and it's very destructive. It's Prabhupada describes that the Brahmastra is many, many million times more powerful than nuclear weapon. So the Brahmastra was concentrated just to kill he wanted to cut off the sequence of the dynasty of the Pandavas. He wanted to cut off what do you call it, the next generation, the hereditary king. And Krishna protected him. Yes, Maharaj Parikshit, Krishna very intelligently, he fulfilled the purpose of the Brahmastra, because Brahmastra has to win. He won. Not Ashwatthama, the Brahmastra. But at the same time, he gave a new life to Maharaj Parikshit, and he was protected by the Lord. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. So he carried on living for a purpose, the same way that his father brought honor to the Pandavas. But he did something even more spectacular. Maharaj Parikshit, apparently he made an offense by putting, this is when he grew up, by putting a dead snake around the neck of a Brahman in the forest. Because the Brahman was meditating, I was ignoring the king. You know, the king asked for a glass of water, being thirsty. And the Brahman, he completely ignored the king. So Maharaj Parikshit put a dead snake on the around his neck. And when the sun came, Rishashringi, what was his name? Shringi, something like that. And he saw that the father was, it was not such a big thing, it was a dead snake. And he became very angry, and he cursed the king to die within 7 days. But of course, Prabhupada describes that he could have counteracted the curse because he was a pious king and he was very powerful. He could have counteracted it very, very easily. But no, he took the curse very humbly, and he did something extraordinary for all of us. He said, okay, I will accept the curse, but I'm going to go and die on the banks of Naimisharanya, on the banks of the Ganges, and I will hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, I will invoke the Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of humankind from Sugadeva Goswami. And that's what he did. That's why we have this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the sunlight in Kali Yuga. He's the only light. We think that the sun is illuminating us and is very bright, but actually the Srimad Bhagavatam shines and it's bright more than millions of suns put together. And it took birth just after the departure of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna entrusted the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of Sugadeva Goswami to the ears of Maharaj Parikshit. And that's why he's celebrated now as the best Shravanam devotee. He's the best because very attentively, without drinking, sleeping, eating, without distraction, he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, drinking the nectar of the Bhagavatam from Sugadeva Goswami for us. Now, As we know, all these, Srimad Bhagavatam has got all these stories, all these personalities, the heroes, the infamous ones, those who have been abused. The Pandavas, they were actually abused. Sometimes we complain, that we don't have enough curd in the prasadam. Or we complain the leaders, they're not up to the standard. Or we complain, that I don't get enough sleep. But you know what the Pandavas went through? They had their house burned up. They were poisoned. And not from their own, the member of their own family, from their own cousins. Now you can imagine if a family member does such a thing, what to speak about other people. They were not safe. And when they were children, Kunti, she was a widow, no husband to take care of her with 5 children. She had to protect their children from this powerful envy of the Kauravas. They were bullied, they were starved, they were exiled to the forest for 14 years, 13 years, whatever it was. Sometimes we think, to become a pure devotee is a walk in the park. But we have to walk through fire. If we don't walk through fire, how do you develop compassion, tolerance, humility? That is why Draupadi, even though she was very fiery, until the last minute she was compassionate. She had their children killed, the grandson been burned up, Maharaj Parikshit, but still she forgave Ashwatthama. The Lord was very merciful. And Arjuna, they bared so much, the Pandavas. And it's not a fairy tale, actually. Sometimes we read because it's entertaining. We think it's very entertaining, all this pastime. But actually, it's the truth. That's what happened 5,000 years ago. And many of the essence of the Mahabharata is actually into the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we learn from this great personality on what to do, what to not do, this is actually the purpose of life. By reading Bhagavatam you gain all these qualities, moral conduct, ethics, religiousness, compassion, tolerance. Krishna wanted to exalt the quality of his devotees, and they are all there in the Bhagavatam. That is why these books, they are the real treasure for humankind. It's not the wealth. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. It's not the wealth that we accumulate, which is valuable, but the knowledge. Knowledge is celebrated to be the most beautiful thing, according to Chanaka Pandit. Knowledge is the real beauty. Not the facial beauty that we are attracted to. Knowledge, it's actually the essence of God, is the blood of God. It's the beauty, the internal beauty of Krishna. And everything else which is not which is ignorance, it's considered to be the back of Krishna. Krishna, even though belongs to Krishna, has created everything. Beautiful knowledge, but also he has created the ignorance. And in the Virat Rupa is described, the ignorance is the back of the Lord. Just like you can never, since the time you are born, until the time you are dead, you can never look at your back, right? Because you can't turn your head and look at your back. It's impossible, unless you get a mirror. But the ignorance represents the back of Krishna. Knowledge is a straightforward thing, is his beauty. It's liquid religion. That is why when we say, oh, this brahmachari or brahmacharini, very effulgent, there is something people from outside, they get attracted to us. What they get attracted to? What is that effulgence? The effulgence, there is in the purport, Prabhupada says, when we drink this knowledge, when we study this book, you become beautiful. That effulgence that we acquire, it's not just from the sadhana, it's not from raising early. There's a lot of people, they raise early. In Italy, there are some farmers, they raise very early, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, to change water to the olives, but they're very ugly. You get people who bake bread, they get up early to, you know, kneadle the bread and still, but nothing. But devotees, they read, because we read books, so that beauty comes out. I've seen sometimes devotees who join our movement, they're not necessarily Mr. Universe or Mrs. Universe, but once they take to the reading of these books, they acquire such effulgence that surpasses, you know, all the movie stars that you have. Because we carry something which is unique. The holy name of Krishna and the transcendental knowledge, which purifies every single sense of our body and beautifies every single part of our body, purifies the mind. Everything becomes beautiful because of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't that when you read, sometimes, you know, when you go in trance and you read, you go deep into it, you feel beautiful. Isn't it? You feel something, you feel like getting some oxygen because you are drinking the beauty of Krishna. That's the Somaras, these books. When you drink the reading of the Bhagavatam, not just rejuvenate your body, but it beautifies your existence, spiritually, mentally, physically. So, Maharaj Parikshit was very, very kind to not dodge the curse. He could have walked away and completely ignore this Brahman, the little. And Prabhupada says, since that time, this Brahman, the Brahman community, they became corrupted. They lost everything, intelligence. That's why the Brahman is very difficult to find a good Brahman in Kali Yuga. But it's easy to get to find a, not necessarily a Brahman, but a good, humble Vaishnava in Kali Yuga, follower of Lord Chaitanya, follower of Lord Krishna. That's why it's not, our society is not really, the goal is not to become a Brahman, but it's to become a Vaishnava, follower of Lord Vishnu, Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit was very compassionate, coming from the spiritual bloodstream from demigods, really, because you can see that his grandmother was a virgin. You know, people, Christmas, they celebrate the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she conceived Jesus without intercourse, which is true. But Kunti, nonetheless, she is also, she never had any intercourse with anybody, not even with her husband. Actually, Pandu was the stepfather of the five Pandavas, if you want to know the truth. Literally, he was actually the stepfather. These demigods, Suryadev, Indra, Surya was the father of Karna, Radeya. They impregnated Kunti in an immaculate way, not without intercourse. Indra, who was the father of Arjuna, and the Ashwini Kumaras, Nakula and Sahadev, and Vayu, the god of wind, he was the father of Bhishma. Oh, sorry, Bhima. No, did I say Bhishma? So, and Draupadi, also the grandmother of you could say, yeah, from the, what do you say, the grandmother, but the step-grandmother. She was born by fire, the step-grandmother of Parikshit, because the grandmother of Maharaj Parikshit was Subhadra, isn't it? Subhadra was the sister of God. So you could see the progeny where this boy was from. He's not an ordinary person. And he was very powerful. He could have dodged, but he preferred to die for our benefit, so that we can, so that the Bhagavatam will take birth on this planet for all of us. So I was not prepared for this class. Sorry if I made you sleep or whatever, but we got 5 minutes, and maybe you can give us some more light if you have any questions or any. Sorry, Nandan, my wife was not well, so I had to. Usually, call me anyway when there's not, when somebody, right? I was telling everyone I'm the standby Walla of the Bhagavata. She always calls me, oh, some such and such can give a class. Can you give a class? There's any questions?